We have two readings today. One is Psalm 150. Hallelujah. Praise God in His holy house of worship. Praise Him under the open skies. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His magnificent greatness. Praise with a blast on the trumpet. Praise by strumming soft strings. Praise Him with castanets and dance. Praise Him with banjo and flute. Praise Him with cymbals and big bass brass drum. Praise Him with fiddles and mandolin. Let every living, breathing creature praise God. Hallelujah. Our second reading is John 3, verses 1 through 10. There was a man of the Pharisee sect, Nicodemus, a prominent leader among the Jews. Late one night, he visited Jesus and said, "Rabbi, we all know you're a teacher straight from God. No one could do all the God-pointing, God-revealing acts you do if God weren't in on it." Jesus said, "You're absolutely right. Take it from me. Unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom." "How can anyone," said Nicodemus, "be born who has already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again. What are you saying with this born from above talk?" Jesus said, "You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, then it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. When you look at a baby, it's just that, a body you look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see and touch. It's the spirit, and it becomes a living spirit. So don't be so surprised when I tell you that you have to be born from above, out of this world, so to speak. You know well enough how the wind blows this way and that. You hear it rustling through the trees, but you have no idea where it comes from or where it's headed next. That's the way it is with everyone, born from above by the wind of God, the Spirit of God." Nicodemus said, "What do you mean by this? How does this happen?" And Jesus said, "You're a respected leader of Israel, and you don't know these basics?" This ends today's readings.
Brothers and sisters, beloved in Christ, many of us grew up with the old Southern spiritual singing, "Lord, I want to be a Christian. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart." We also sang, "Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." You remember these words? I do. I sang them in a different language half a century ago, but they are still part of my life. We desire to be part of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Question is, how? The Bible tells the story of Nicodemus, a prominent leader among the Jews who, like many of us, apparently wrestled with the very same questions. In his case, he ended up in a secret midnight discussion where Jesus explained, giving the answer, an answer that became a cornerstone for our Christian faith. How did Jesus respond? Jesus said, unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. When you look at a baby, it's just that. A body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see and touch, the spirit, and becomes a living spirit. Now, this is a mouthful. I know you've just heard it for the second time. I cannot expect you to be 100% on board with the depth of these words. It took me reading it 10 times and working on it for hours. So how can I expect to just quickly say it? Sometimes we need to go back to the Bible after church and think again and study again. Because we also know that in our times, this biblical truth, this very one that we just read, is often misunderstood. It's often distorted and proclaimed in many confusing terms. Sometimes one little phrase is enough, and I can pinpoint for you exactly in the history of Christianity to what part of Christianity that person originates from or came from. And believe me, there are many, many different explanations of these words. Let me tell you that once, some time ago, there was a small jazz club in New Orleans, and in a corner there sat an old piano. The piano was in deplorable condition, and all the visiting jazz artists complained about this antiquated instrument that they were forced to play on. So, yeah, the piano players dreaded if they had to play on it, but, well, they got something out of it, so they did. Even the vocalists dreaded singing with it. And people complained and complained, but the owner of the club was a bit tight-fisted, as we can understand. And so he did nothing initially, and finally couldn't stand all these complaining and whining anymore. So he decided, well, time has finally come to do something about it. Know what he did? He called a painter, and he had the old piano painted. Now, many people are like that club owner. They realize that their lives are in a sad, broken, and unhappy condition without any spiritual power or faith. So they also attempt a superficial, shallow makeover on the surface. Maybe a fresh coat of paint will change what's hurting inside. Sadly, for them, nothing really changes. This is important, something to understand. Being a Christian, having faith in God, following Jesus, is not and should never be like a fresh coat of exterior pain for a deeply unhappy existence and deteriorating quality of life. There are some who simply nod their heads in agreement. Say, yeah, oh, beautiful. Thank you for preaching on that text. That was great. But they never, ever allow the true message of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to penetrate their lives. They are satisfied to simply paint the old piano. They will never take the necessary steps to make the changes they really need, and that would change their lives forever. Now, I do know there's something in the culture, not only here but elsewhere in the world, that's very adverse, with adverse reactions. Whenever you use the word born again, one of those again. And then we can pinpoint, I know where that comes from. And usually with an unfriendly undertone. Because many have associated this term with a fundamentalist religious right, using this term to shove their brand of religion and own interpretations and ideas down people's throats. We know it's true. But let's make one thing clear. Let us never throw this baby out with the bathwater. This part of Scripture is of vital importance. Vitally important that you and I understand, not only with the mind, but also with the heart. There are different, much deeper, powerful and life-changing truths in this story about Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus, church leader in the time of Jesus, was so acutely aware that there was something missing in his life. He was determined, I need to speak to this rabbi, teaching differently than I've ever heard before. I don't know the exact reason, but I suspect it was something of that emptiness that we're talking about that made him secretly visit Jesus in the middle of the night. Maybe he was also seeking to fill, in spite of all his learnedness, all his traditions, saying, but they're doing nothing to me. They're not changing anything. I'm still empty. I'm still lonely inside. If that's not a true description of Nicodemus, I can assure you that's a true description of countless millions of Jesus followers in our times. Yeah, he knew all about the laws in the Hebrew Testament. He's most certainly lived a life within the letter of that law. I'm sure Nicodemus was a good man. He was a solid citizen that any community would be proud to call its own. His life was all about religious rules, regulations. He could quote the law like no one else. He knew every rule. He was quick to tell the people when he thought that they went wrong. So sad that God apparently never became real in the life of Nicodemus. Church history reveals that there are many who have filled important positions within churches of all ages who sadly never, ever understood this basic Christian message. People who never allowed the message of Jesus Christ to penetrate their lives. Heartbreaking when church people so close to living water never get around to actually drinking it. Now, obviously, there was something about Jesus that intrigued Nicodemus. Despite the devotion of Nicodemus to his faith, he knew that there was something missing in his life. And maybe this Jesus could offer what he needed. Maybe this Jesus could help Nicodemus fill the void that he was feeling in his life. Okay, that's scripture. Personal question. Have you ever felt like that? Yes, you. Personally. Have you ever felt, why am I going to church? Why do I still believe in organized religion? Doesn't satisfy. Doesn't do what I was hoping it would do. Have you ever felt, I'm not getting out of life, I'm not getting out of my church, what I really need, what I really want? That's my way of asking, have you ever wished that you can have a midnight meeting with Jesus so that he could personally tell you the secret of what life, a life in God, a life with God, is all about? Faith is not something we can borrow, take over. For faith to be genuine, it has to be our faith, speaking from our inside out. Oh yes, it's no secret that there are many, many second-hand Christians. They have inherited their faith from their families. They've borrowed it from their friends. They've married it. They've taken it over like the cut of their clothes from the fashion of their group. Faith is not something acquired in any of those ways. Faith is not something you can borrow from another person or by going to this or that church or whatever. For faith to be genuine, it has to be your own. I'm talking about a personal connection with God that cannot be explained by rules and regulations. A relationship so real, so sincere, that you finally realize, why did I live without this so long? Why do I only now understand? Brother, sister, shortly after the senseless slaughter of a large herd of buffalo in the movie Dances with Wolves, I think most of us have seen it, and I love that movie. The character played by Kevin Costner in one scene stares in disgust over the piles of dead meat left to rot on the prairie. The so-called hunters took only the skins to sell for profit and left a sad and stinking scene behind. There came a moment when that soldier, that lonesome soldier, compared the culture that he was used to, that produced these hunters, come to a big decision. This experience brings so much resentment in his heart that the moment came when he finally rejected his old self, took off his soldier's uniform, sacrificed his culture in favor, in exchange for the insights, the lifestyle and culture of the tribe's people whom he befriended. And those of you who love the movie, in a moving scene, he finally trades his soldier's uniform for the noble clothing of the tribe who took him in, loved him and cared for him when he was wounded. And in the process, he laid off the old and he became new. And of course, this is just a story. But isn't it true? Doesn't there sometimes happen things in one's life that you say, I cannot live like this anymore. That's not what I wanted. That's not who I am. I need a rebirth. I need something to happen in my life so that it can be meaningful, grounded, exhilaratingly beautiful. Jesus came in a world ruled by the Romans, hated by many. His people suffered slavery. It was bad times. But Jesus came and he lived, demonstrated, and taught the principles that govern God's kingdom. Do not paint the old piano. Search and discover God's presence in your life. And when you and I stop, truly listen and open our lives and follow, powerful inner change will take place deep within us. In a profound spiritual way, we learn how to discard the old uniform and culture of selfishness and how to reach for new clothing, which is a radical change in our thinking and doing. When God tells us to stop, we need to stop. Stop painting the piano. Go inside. Rebirth is a process for us in the company of Jesus. Believe, reach out, accept the truth, and begin over again. You know, if Nicodemus did, if he reached, if he tried to start over again, if he followed the insights of Jesus, we might have heard from Nicodemus again. Truth is, read the Bible, we never ever did. Nicodemus disappeared into the darkness of night. Never heard from him again. So I wonder, will you and I, when we touch and receive the tokens of love and forgiveness today, will you and I spiritually reach out and touch the face of God? Will be so aware of God's presence here that it will go with us back into the world, and that it will be our true companion no matter what, until we breathe our last? Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Amen.